Hare Yeah. Hare Rama.
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम 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 नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे पञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितनं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। अजानुलंबित भुजौखनकावदात संकीर्तनायकपितरोकमाय दक्ष विश्वंबरो द्विजवरो युगदानमपान वंदे जगत्प्रियकरो करुणावतारो यन्तः प्रविश्य मम वाचि मम प्रसूप्तं संजीवयाते किल शक्तिधरः स्वधम्ना अन्यांश्च हस्तचरणाश्रवणात् वागाय प्रणन्नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यं। हरे कृष्ण। आई एम वेरी हैप्पी टू बी विद यू दिस मॉर्निंग। And I was asked to speak a little bit about Srila Prabhupada and about preaching in Russian. And it's a very appropriate topic on the 50th anniversary of ISKCON, because this is the date when we have to look back and see what happened and what's going to happen. Prabhupada, he performed a miracle by bringing Krishna consciousness all over the world. And all of a sudden, everywhere, in every corner of this world, people are chanting Hare Krishna. And of course, this is a special power which Prabhupada had. This power is based on his ardent desire to give people Krishna consciousness. He many times taught us that the only thing which we can do as a tiny spirit soul is to desire. And desire is a very huge power in this world. Ultimately, everything in this world is moved because of the desire of the soul. Everything else is arranged by the modes of material nature. Krishna is there. But the deciding factor the creation of this scenery of this world is desire. And as Prabhupada often used to say, the secret of spiritual success is also the strong desire for spiritual progress. Desire is such a thing that we cannot really sort of produce it. It should come. But therefore, in Vedic culture, there is this thing as satsang. Satsang, actually, the very purpose of satsang is to create desire. When we speak, when we hear somebody who is speaking, he is supposed to have stronger desire than us. And when we see somebody with very strong desire and with enthusiasm, then it becomes contagious. Prabhupada once gave an example of Charlie Chaplin. Prabhupada was very fond of Charlie Chaplin. Charlie Chaplin was a comedian, very famous. And Prabhupada, he wanted to teach this point that enthusiasm is contagious. You know, whatever you should do with enthusiasm. If you do something and you are not really putting your heart into this, why waste time? Nothing good will come out from this action. So if we do something, the first condition of success in whatever we do is enthusiasm. Utsaham nishchaya darya tat tat karma pravartanat. It is said in Upadeshamritam that if you want really to have success in whatever undertaking, and especially in bhakti, the first condition is utsah. Utsah means you are enthusiastic. Prabhupada gave this example of Charlie Chaplin. He said that once Charlie Chaplin was in a ballroom, and he had this funny suit with the tails, you know, this smoking, you know, this really funny Western dress. You know, people on the high circles, they're supposed to have these funny suits, I don't know, probably because it reminds them about monkeys or kangaroos or I don't know, about their ancestry, whatever, right, tales of this. So he said that, you know, and, you know, everyone is dressed in these funny suits with these tails, and everyone is dancing, and Charlie Chaplin sat down on a chair, and there was either nail or something. Anyway, something went wrong, and one of the tails, there are two tails in this funny suit, so one of the tails got torn out. And, you know, it looks anyway ridiculous, but with one tail, it's very ridiculous. So he finds out that he doesn't have this two, it's not, his suit is not complete. So without thinking twice, he tears another one off and starts dancing with great enthusiasm as if this is the way to go. And everyone is looking at him. And instead of laughing, everyone thinks, you know, he's so confident. He is doing it with such a confidence and enthusiasm that must be the right way to do. And everyone starts tearing off their tails. They all followed him. Why? Because he had this enthusiasm. And Prabhupada, definitely, he had this great enthusiasm. And that's, he himself said, that's the secret of success. My great desire to please my spiritual master. He often remembered his very deep experience when he read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on the verse Vyavasayatmika Buddhiha Keha Kuru Nandana, where Krishna himself says that those who are resolute in their purpose, their intelligence is one, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. Ekeha Kuru Nandana. And otherwise, other people, Bahushakahyanantascha, they become many-branched. They go here, they go there, they try to catch this, they try to achieve this goal. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary says that this Vyavasayatmika Buddhi is actually to understand the mood of one spiritual master and try to follow this mood. Try to really build or mold one's life on the desire of spiritual master. Our spiritual desire is weak. There is no doubt about it. We have some little spark of spiritual desire. Yeah, it may be, you know, maybe not bad to be in Vaikuntha. Weather is nice there. And, you know, and Krishna is playing flute. So nice. Nice entertainment or whatever. We may not have very strong desire. But if we try to follow the mood of our spiritual master who has very strong desire, look at Jayapatak Maharaj. His desire is amazingly strong. You know, it's just unbelievable. It's out of this world. People in this condition, they become depressed and morose and they cannot do anything. You know, and he's in this condition, in this physical condition, he's traveling all over the world. Just this example alone, you know, and sometimes we think, oh, if everything is so bad, you know, oh, my situation is so bad. Look at him. Can you imagine yourself in this condition? It's very difficult to imagine. But still, he's full of enthusiasm. He's bubbling with enthusiasm. He's still, you know, it's amazing. I have this great honor of serving on the GBC. And it's a very difficult and demanding service. You have to deal with madness of so many people, with insanity on different levels, on the governmental level, on the level, you know, it's a very difficult job. So recently there was a survey. Who of the GBC wants to resign when? Because we are talking about succession, so, and there was a sense, general sense, that, you know, some of the GBCs wants to resign, and, you know, Sivaram Maharaj practically resigned, he filed his resignation, this Maharaj, that Maharaj, and everyone wrote, within 3 years, within 5 years, within 1 year, within so many. Only two people say, forget it, we're not going to resign. One was Jayapatak Maharaj, another one was Gopal Krishna Maharaj. He said, how can we resign from service? You know, the eldest one, the most, who have the such a difficult job, you know. Still, they're full of enthusiasm. And why? Because Prabhupada, he showed this example. You know, once he came to Great Britain, and in Great Britain, a reporter, a journalist asked him, why did you come to Great Britain? Listen what Prabhupada answered to him. He said, British, they ruled India for 200 years, and they plundered India, they took so much wealth. But they forgot one wealth, spiritual wealth. So I came to England to bring this wealth to them because they forgot it. I'm a home delivery boy. They didn't take the... They took all this useless wealth. They didn't take the real wealth of India. So I'm here to somehow or other to compensate with the with the loss, with their mistake which they did. So again, his secret of success was this ardent desire, and because of this desire, because of the strong desire which was burning in his heart, he was always confident that he will fulfill the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's amazing, you know, somebody in the year of 69, he was 69 when he went to America. Although we always say 70, but he was 69, technically speaking. But there is not much difference, 69 or 70, you know. People usually, they don't do anything new. They are lucky if they can do something which they already know in this age. But to go to completely new country. Srila Prabhupada said, I didn't even know whether they will understand my English or not. And sure enough, not everyone could understand his Indian English. Sometimes people from America, when they heard this bard, they just couldn't figure out what he's talking about. And on the top of this, he had 40 rupees in his pocket. Just tell me, please, who will dare to go to America with 40 rupees in your pocket? Which is not even convertible. I heard that this 40 rupees is still there somewhere in a museum, you know. That's the money which Prabhupada brought with him. You know, he goes there because of the desire. But the most amazing thing, I wanted to tell you a few stories about Prabhupada and about his desire. That when he was not even sannyasi, he was vanaprastha, he was living in his godbrother's mat in Mathura, in Keshavji Gaudiya Math. There was an interesting story. He went with one brahmachari to a program, to a home program somewhere, and he came late back to Math. And as you know, the prasadam from lunch is kept somewhere in the buckets, you know. So they were sitting late together, two of them, in the big temple room, eating some, you know, cold chapatis and cold rice and cold sabji, you know, something like this. It's kind of, completely empty room. Two persons in the corner sitting and eating. So at this moment, one Indian family, rather well-to-do, rich Indian family, you know, father, mother, and few kids with them, they kind of popped out in the room, in the temple room, looked, didn't see anyone of any, you know, significance, closed the door and went somewhere else. Didn't really find anyone. And when they closed the door and Prabhupada saw this, Prabhupada started chuckling. He was laughing and laughing and laughing, eating and laughing. And this brahmachari said, "Why do you laugh?" He said, "This family, they looked in the room and they saw one old man eating dry chapatis. And they went away. Little do they know what plans Mahaprabhu has for this old man. What plans Mahaprabhu wants to fulfill through this old man. Little do they know." You know, Prabhupada is nobody. Literally, that's why he was chuckling. You know, he was chuckling because he knew very well what's going to happen at that time. He was chuckling because he thought, you know, they didn't notice, they didn't pay any attention. But he was so confident because he knew that Krishna cannot do anything but reciprocate with his desire. Krishna himself says, "Yayathamam prapadyante tamstathami bhajamyaham." I reciprocate. If somebody is worshipping me, I reciprocate accordingly. And Prabhupada knew for sure, he had complete confidence, Krishna will reciprocate with this desire. He will give me some opportunities. He has some plans for me, and somehow or other, miraculously, these plans will be fulfilled. So that's Prabhupada, and the secret of his success, just completely selfless desire to serve people and to glorify Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Radhanand Maharaj, my Guru Maharaj, he once told a story. He was quite close with Iyengar, BKS Iyengar, famous yoga teacher from Pune. Yeah. So he said that just maybe a few months before departure of Iyengar, he was speaking with him. And they were discussing the condition of Hinduism, because Hindu Dharma, as we know, you know, so many new dharmas are flourishing. And unfortunately, Hinduism, the most powerful and the most complete and the most pure and the most non-sectarian religion, is not really flourishing, even in India. So many people are forgetting this. And of course, there are so many gurus who are trying to propagate this. And they were discussing this condition of Hindu Dharma. And BKS Iyengar, he was actually, he was also, he did a lot to propagate yoga and glory of Vedic culture all over the world. He is the most famous all over the world. So he said, the reason is simple. Because all these people, he said, they're personally motivated. They're coming, and ultimately they want to glorify themselves. And the ultimate reason, I mean, we're all selfish. Selfishness is there, but, you know, if somebody is big, it becomes very obvious, so to speak. So and Guru Maharaj said that he would mention this person and that person and this person and that person. And then he said, but Prabhupada was genuine. He was the only one, basically. That's what Iyengar said. He was real. Because Prabhupada, you know, in the age of 70, he went there at 69, you know, without any tangible hope for success, but with complete confidence that he will succeed. But at the same time, you know, it's not usually, you can really see through the hardship which Prabhupada underwent, he was not doing it for himself. He was doing it for Krishna. He was doing it to fulfill the command or the order of his spiritual master. And that was his motivating force. There is this famous story about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. Bhaktivikas Maharaj recorded this story in his book about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Then, during the last parikram in Mayapur, in Champahati, where, you know, probably 1,000 devotees or around 1,000 devotees gathered together to listen to Saraswati Thakur. And at that time, one preacher returned from England, whom Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada sent. So he all of a sudden started speaking about his desire to preach in the West. And he said, my mother, she's a pure devotee, Bhagavati Devi, while passing away on her deathbed, she ordered me, you should bring Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission in the West. And he said, her words will for sure come true, because that's her desire, and desire of a pure devotee for sure will be fulfilled. But then he said, but how, I don't know. So far, it doesn't really happen. It's not happening. There is not so much success. But then all of a sudden he paused And then he said, but one of my disciples, he will go over the ocean and he will bring thousands of people back here to Mayapur. And at that moment, he started looking somewhere. And the Babaji, Saraswati Thakur's disciple, Nayananda Maharaj Babaji, he noticed that something strange is going on. He paused. And he looked back because he saw he's looking not where the sannyasis are sitting. He's looking somewhere else. So he looked back and he saw Abhay Babu, Abhay Charanaravinda Babu, Srila Prabhupada. And he saw that Saraswati Thakur is looking at him and Srila Prabhupada is looking back at him. And they're exchanging their looks, you know. And he said, at that moment, I realized that he's something special. He's empowered. There is some empowerment in him. So, actually, this empowerment is coming again through the medium of our desires, through our really desire to please the spiritual master. And that was life and soul of Prabhupada. He wanted only one thing, to please his spiritual master. And that's, again, as I said, secret of his success. So I wanted to tell a few stories. Because of this very strong desire, one develops many things. And Prabhupada, he was amazing. Because Krishna is sitting in his heart and Krishna is directly guiding him. If you're pure in your heart, as Krishna himself says, Tasham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yanamam upayantite. I myself will give him intelligence and to guide him. If he is pure in the heart. You know, isn't it nice to be directly guided by Krishna? To be really sure that I'm doing what, you know, once one disciple ask Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, does the spiritual master knows everything which is going on in the heart of his disciple? And Prabhupada gave a very interesting answer. He said, he knows only those things which super soul wants him to know. Because the super soul lives in my heart and lives in the heart of disciple. So whatever super soul tells, I know. It's not that I'm omniscient. Sometimes, you know, people, they have this strange sentimental ideas that guru has to, he has to know everything. No, he said, I only know what the super soul wants me to know. And he did know a lot of things about what's going on in the hearts of disciples. I wanted to tell a few stories about this. You know, Varadaraj Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's disciples, he tells his story that before initiation, he already picked up a name which he wanted to be named. And he thought, Madan Mohan, such a nice name. She should call me Madan Mohan. He was so obsessed with this idea. And when they were sitting before initiation, he had only one idea in the mind, Madan Mohan. And he couldn't hear anything what's going on. He was so... So when his turn came to come to Srila Prabhupada to give his vows, he bowed down. And there's only one thought, Madan Mohan, he should call me Madan Mohan. So he gives somehow or other, he staggers, he gives his vows to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, he keeps beads in his hand. And there is a pause. And he thinks, Madan Mohan. Then Prabhupada, he stretches his hand to give his beads. And then he looks around and he asks, do we have Madan Mohan around? Is anyone here called Madan Mohan? And somebody says, yes, Madan Mohan is somewhere there. He said, oh yeah, Madan Mohan is there. So your name will be Bharadaraj. You really could understand what's going on in the mind. And there is another story again, which illustrates the same point, that the guru knows only what super soul wants him to know. This is a story which one Prabhupada's disciple, Mahabuddhi, is telling about himself. He said, I was a very rebellious teenager, and I always wanted to bring somebody down, as teenagers usually do. That's their sports, you know. They have some inferiority complex, so they want to bring it. So he said, I was walking, he was living somewhere in California. So I was walking in my city and I saw a big poster. And in the poster it was said, the guru of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he will give lectures such and such. And he looks, he reads this poster and he says, guru? Guru? What kind of guru it is? I will show that he is not a guru. He is not a real guru. You know, some little boy, foolish boy, walks in the street and he gets this idea, I will show. So he sits in the car. He is maybe 17 years old or 16 years old at that time. He sits in the car to drive to Los Angeles. And in the meantime, he makes in his mind conditions, how to recognize the real guru. And in his mind he says, the real guru, he is the one who teaches about the absolute truth, who knows the absolute truth. The real guru is the one who shows the way to absolute truth. The real guru can read the thoughts of people, and the real guru can predict future. So somehow or other he got this 4 points. And he said, I will prove that this guy is not real guru. Because he should really fit the bill, you know. 4 points should be there. So he comes to Los Angeles temple. He drives by. He comes and the disciple down there, he says, do you want to see Prabhupada? He said, yes, of course, I want to see Prabhupada. I came to see him. So he comes to a room. There is room probably this size, and there are many devotees sitting in front of the sannyasis with the, and he's the only one who dressed in jeans, and you know, he has long hairs, you know, teenager, quite confused. So, and Prabhupada, he just finished chanting. So he sits somewhere in the corner, and he feels really foreign. You know, can you imagine somebody comes to a gathering like this, and he's totally, he doesn't know what's going on, you know, everyone is strangely dressed, you know, some have, you know, sticks, you know, and the guru is sitting there, and he really, inside, he's totally rebelling against this, and he said, oh, I'll prove. So he sits somewhere, looks very, you know, gloomy over his, you know, doesn't like what's going on. So Prabhupada, he finishes his chanting and he looks in the room and he sees some teenage boy with long hair sitting in the corner. And all sannyasis are there. And all of a sudden, Srila Prabhupada looks directly at him. And he says, why did you become Kripana? Why did you become Kripana? And the boy didn't expect this, you know, directly attack. He came to challenge, but before he could challenge, Prabhupada already challenged him. What did you become? And he doesn't know what Kripana is, but he knows that it's something bad, but he doesn't know what it really means. So a very clear thought comes to his mind. Who is Kripana? And Prabhupada says, Kripana is a miser. Why did you become miser? Said, why? You know, he starts to say, within his heart, he starts saying, you know, why does he call me miser? How does, you know, I'm not a miser, you know. He starts kind of justifying himself, and Prabhupada says, he has this question in his mind. Why does he call me miser? And Prabhupada says, because anyone who is not looking for absolute truth, he is a miser. The miser is anyone who can know the absolute truth, but he doesn't want to know the absolute truth. Everyone should know absolute truth. And he thought, okay, so he is teaching about absolute truth. That's good. So now he has these four things in his list, 4 points. And then Prabhupada already reads his mind, and Prabhupada is speaking about absolute truth. And then Prabhupada says, you know, to understand absolute truth, you should follow bhakti. Bhakti is the path to absolute truth. This is the method to understand absolute truth. Okay, he says, okay, this is this, this is this. And then he has the last point in his list. Guru should read the thoughts, Guru should teach about the absolute truth, and Guru should teach the method how to understand the absolute truth. But the last point is, Guru should know the future. And he has in his mind, again, the thought or question. You know, so what about future? Can he predict the future or not? And Prabhupada looks at him. Yeah, and in the meantime, all the sannyasis, he's sitting somewhere in the corner. And in the meantime, everyone understood that something is going on between Prabhupada and this boy. So everyone kind of, you know, set little aside. So there is a direct line, corridor between him and Prabhupada is looking at him. And he thinks in his mind, does he know future or not? And Prabhupada said, bring me this book from which I was reading. And somebody is bringing him book. And this is the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the predictions about Kali Yuga is there. And he said, it is said here that in this age, the beauty will be measured according to the length of people's hair. And this guy is sitting with a long hair. And Prabhupada starts reading other predictions which are there, and they all fit the situation which is there. And he's totally, completely, he's... He said Prabhupada put ticks against all these 4 points which I had. So he said, okay. He said that I wanted to really, you know, completely disappear from the surface of the earth. I was, you know, and then when the darshan was finished, he couldn't say a word. When the darshan was finished, he crawls out the room, you know, and he really, he's looking around and he's really afraid that somebody knows what he really thought and how he was exposed during this darshan. So he crawls out, he goes there. You know, he drives in his car, he comes back, and still Prabhupada's voice reverberates in his head. You are miser, you are miser. So he takes his checkbook, and he collected some money, and, you know, his hand is trembling, and he writes there, $1,000. He says, oh my goodness, it's all my money, everything which I collected so far. But anyway, I'm not a miser. $1,000. So next day, he takes this check. He wants to bring it to Prabhupada. And then he comes to Los Angeles Temple, and he sees somebody in the shop, some devotee who is selling there in the shop. And he said, you know, and the devotee asked, you want to see Prabhupada? He said, no, I had enough. No. I don't want to see him now. But he gives him envelope with the check, and he says, can you give it to your spiritual master? I don't want to see him, but please bring it to your spiritual master. So this devotee says, you please wait here. I will bring it to my spiritual master and come back. So he goes. He is absent for a few minutes, then he comes back. And then he looks at this boy, and he says, Prabhupada told me to tell you that you understood everything correct. So that's the story about Prabhupada. That's, which shows, you know, if you are in...
What is the dude's name?
Mahabodhi. Mahabodhi. Huh? Oh, okay. So that this is the story we chose, that if the super soul wants to know, wants the spiritual master to know something about the disciple, then he will give this knowledge. And because Prabhupada always had this protection from the super soul and this connection, he was really bold. Prabhupada, it's unbelievable and amazing how bold he was while he was preaching. There is a few other stories. One story I like very much. During one of his lectures, one strangely dressed man came from hippie days, and he had a long dress robe with silver stars all over the, you know, black kind of dress with silver stars and funny hood and something like this. And he was staring at Prabhupada during the lecture like this, you know, without any blinking. Kind of trying to hypnotize him. So when the lecture was finished, he raises his hand. When Prabhupada asks, do you have any questions? So he raises his hands. He stands up. He's a tall man with a big robe, you know, staring at Prabhupada. And he says, what about Buddha? And Prabhupada looks at him, stares at him with the same unblinking look. And he says, what about Buddha? And you know, the guy doesn't know what to answer, you know. And then he says, can you see God? The guy asks Prabhupada. He says, no, because you stand on the way. Because this big ego is there. You can see God because of the ego, you know. And then there is another story. Again, Prabhupada gives a lecture, and many people are there, and there is, again, funny-looking girl is there, and she's really eager to ask a question. And Prabhupada looks at this girl, and he knows that it will probably be a useless question. But nobody else has a question. So reluctantly, Prabhupada asks her, what is your question? She says, Swamiji, is it true that there are many ways to God, there are many different ways? Prabhupada says, no. He says, if you want to eat, there is only one way, through the mouth. You can't put food through your ear or through your nose or through your anus. You only should put it here. There is only one way. It's always like that. So, the question was solved. There's only one way. There's only one correct way. Everything else is not correct. So that's how Prabhupada was. And the point which I was trying to make, why Prabhupada was so successful, why he was able to bring Krishna consciousness all over the world, because he only have one very pure desire. I'm not doing anything on my own. I just want to please my spiritual master. I want to fulfill his mission. And that's what I'm doing here. And as I said, because of the purity of his desire, Krishna reciprocated with his desire. And he used to say, you know, if I am an old man can do so much, you young people should do even more. Of course, we're young from the bodily concept of life, but spiritually we're not very young and progressive. and the point is that if we want to succeed in our spiritual life, we really have to develop desire. And the only way to develop desire is to associate with those who have desire, who have very strong spiritual desires. Because this is how it is, how it works in this life. you can get. Actually, most of our desires is not our desires. It's desires of somebody else who instilled it in our heart. They put some big advertisement, big billboard, you know, to implant desires in your heart. So spiritual life works on the same principle. You know, we should get the desire, cherish this spiritual desire, which is most important. The spiritual desire is the most important achievement which we have. All other achievements, all our bank accounts, cars, whatever, Dubai flats or whatever, it's not a very significant achievement. The only real achievement which we have is the spiritual desire which we have in the heart, which is not ours, which is the desire which came from the heart of other devotees. And we should fan this desire by coming together and speaking about Krishna and about Prabhupada and about the glory of devotion. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for a nice lecture regarding the spiritual desires, one has to develop. But I just ask you, in your case, is there somebody else to influence you to get this desire, or yourself got your internal?
Nobody has this desire on his own. We can only get this desire from somebody else. It's not possible to get this desire on its own. Yes, I was frustrated, and everyone is frustrated. The first chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called Vishada Yoga, because Vishada means frustration, the yoga of frustration. And this is the permanent mood in this material world. Everyone is frustrated, whether they admit it or not. Whether they are honest enough to say, I am frustrated, or they try to put a nice facade. Everything is fine with me. Nothing is fine with anyone. So I was frustrated. I was very frustrated. I didn't know why I'm living, for what I'm living. But then what happened? In 77, Prabhupada actually sent Gopal Krishna Maharaj to Russia. He went himself in 71 to Russia. And Shyamasundar Prabhu, who was his servant at that time, says, he said that actually Russia is ready to accept Krishna consciousness. He said, as the cook takes one rice from the whole pot of rice and tests if the one grain of rice is cooked, then the whole pot is cooked. So there was one Russian man who came to Srila Prabhupada, who was very eager, who was really kind of absorbing Krishna consciousness in a way. Prabhupada said, look at this boy. He's ready. It means the whole country is ready. So, and he couldn't come again back to Russia. So in 77, he sent Gopal Krishna Maharaj for the first time in Russia with Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, with the books of Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. And Gopal Krishna Maharaj came to Russia, and he wanted to sell the books, but there was no dollars at that time in Russia, and rubles were not convertible. And he brought these books, Prabhupada's books, in different libraries, and the libraries said, well, we're eager to get your books. Please give us the books, but we cannot pay you because we don't have dollars, but we can give you Russian books in exchange. So Gopal Krishna Maharaj, he brought back from Russia a bunch of Russian books and said, Prabhupada, that's what they gave to me. I don't know. Prabhupada said, no, don't worry. You know, and for a long time these books were sitting there, and I know the first devotees, they would go to library and they would get Prabhupada books. That was the only source of them. And then in 78, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, in 77, in May of 77, he went to Russia and he reported back to Prabhupada, that's what I did, and Prabhupada was very pleased. So next year, in 78, at that time I was graduating from university, from Moscow State University. Yes, I guess it was, or maybe 77 I was, I don't remember now, 78. So And again, Gopal Krishna Maharaj comes to Moscow with Bhaktivedanta book stall and for the international book fair at that time. And a friend of mine with whom I used to live in one room during my student days, he got a book from Prabhupada and he starts associating with the first Russian devotees. And the first Russian devotees, they somehow or other, they imbibe this mood from Srila Prabhupada that everyone has to get Krishna consciousness by hook and by crook. So his first disciple, Ananta Shanti Prabhu, somebody told me how he preached. He would stand on the bus stand, you know. There is a little crowd standing in the bus stand waiting for a bus. And he would come to some lady or some man who is standing there, idle. They don't have anything to do. And he looks at him and said, "Are you already chanting mantra?" And nobody has heard anything about mantra, you know. What is mantra? And everyone, you know, can you imagine somebody comes to you, completely unknown foreign man, and asks you, are you chanting mantra? And naturally, the answer was, no, I'm not chanting any mantra. He said, really? Everyone else is already chanting. How come you're not chanting? He said, really? Everyone is chanting. Okay, so how to do this? That's how his technique for preaching. So, so my friend started associating, and he, at one point, he saw that we were living in, there was a room, the common bus room, and little room here, little room there. He was living in one room, I was living in another room. And he thought that I was not in the room, and he went to a shower, and he started taking shower, and very loudly under the shower he was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And I'm sitting in this other room, and I'm thinking, my goodness, what's going on with him? Must be something wrong with his head. This is the first time how I heard Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And my first reaction, my friend is taking shower and, you know, chanting very loudly under the shower. I said, why Krishna? Who is Krishna? Why Rama? Why Hare Krishna? What's going on? I couldn't have a clue. But because he had desire to make me devotee, I don't know why, but we had nice relationship, so he thought he should be, so I became, because of his desire, not my desire.
Maharaj, Ananta Shisha, what the first devotee's name is?
Ananta Shanti.
He was the same person who met Srila Prabhupada?
Yeah.
He passed away recently?
Yeah, he passed away recently. Yeah,
we heard from him.
I think he gave him initiation later by mail. He gave him philosophy in the first meeting, because Adau Shraddha, first you have to instill the faith in somebody. So he gave him faith, which is most important. And then later he gave him initiation and so many other things he gave him.
Short of time, so if you have, you can give to me, I'll give to Maharaj by mail. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for the wonderful class.
Thank you very much.
Coming here, we're very obliged. Hare Krishna Mantra, you can go to Maharaj.
Good health. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. You all can, Maharaj and children can take the seven first, and then we'll just tie it back. Just take quickly Prasadam from Maharaj, and we'll have a photograph with Maharaj.